Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, underneath the tree, I have another present that I'm going to show you in just a minute. It has something to do with two songs I'm going to share with you. One you may know, the other one I'm pretty certain you may know. The first one I grew up with in Sunday school and when I was taking confirmation class. And some of you know, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. You remember singing this? I grew up, that's an old hymn. Well, I got a better one, if you'd stand up. Go ahead, stand up. I got a better one. Really, it's the same thing, only we do it at weddings when we're having a party. You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, put your right, come on, your hand, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. You put your left hand in, you take your left hand out, you put your left hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Then it ends this way. You put your whole body in, take your whole body out. You put your whole body in, and you shake it all around. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Hey, you can be seated. Oh, boy. Now I got a sweat going. Four presents for God. So, let's go to our... Do you remember what the first one was? It was, give to God a broken and contrite heart. Remember, this was a heart that I cut out, and I tore it up, broken and contrite, sacrificed that to God. Do you remember that? And in doing so, when we sacrifice this to God, He heals it. And so, in waiting for the Savior to arrive at Christmas, we have this wonderful joy and hope that our whole hearts will be made whole with the arrival of Christ. So I'll put Him back in present number one, and I'll reach into present number two. Our second gift to God, present to God your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. DNA, that's what I'm using. Do you understand what I'm going to be getting at? I didn't use the word bodies. I paraphrased it into the modern Camphor translation because I think this will cut deeper into your life than just saying body. And by the way, the word that's used for body in the Bible, if you would have been around a couple thousand years ago, would have probably brought this idea that there is something about us and in us, the building blocks of who we are, that is at the core of our very being. Now, they didn't have electron microscopes, so they couldn't see it. They didn't have years of research so that they understood deoxyribonucleic nucleic acid. But they knew it was there. They didn't understand it as a double helix with AT, what is it, G and A, the basic building blocks of who we are. But they knew it was there. God designed us in a very special way, and there was something about ourselves down deep that God gave. They also knew that there was a problem, that we, in our bodies, as who we are, are incomplete. Something shut down and busted the completeness. We know what that is, because the Bible says every inclination of mankind is to sin. That goes way back into the first part of the book of Genesis. It says that, even before Noah. So they understood, they knew that each one of us in our body and in our being, broken down, busted, and not the people that we should be. That has to be reconstructed, rebuilt, rejuvenated, recreated. In the words of Paul here in the book of Romans, transformed. Now, we know we're headed into Christmas and the arrival of Christ. If we understand this about ourselves, our true nature, and who we are, and how we're truly busted, and our need for transformation, we're going to be prepared for the arrival of Christ, because only God can work such a miracle. I mean, we put a lot of hope and trust in doctors these days that they might be able to splice, right? And transform the very genetic nature of a human being. But really, is that going to remove the sinful nature of mankind? Is that going to stop people from hating and having prejudice? Is that really going to heal our emotional nature, which gets at times down and depressed, and at other times gets uneasy to handle because we don't know how to love? Really, is this going to stop the wars going on in the world today? Is this going to quit strife, the shootings that we hear about every day? Is this going to get down deep into your life and change your attitude about your work, your job, your family? Can some doctor come along and take the genes that are in your body and so rearrange them so that you're perfect before God? What's the answer to that? No. Not even close. Your body needs a miracle. Today you have brought your sacrifice to God. You're presenting it the best you can. And so I hear the singing. Not everybody's on key. I've seen the faces. Not everybody's filled with joy. I've looked around at how you're kind of looking at other people, and I've seen some of you that haven't really fully with joy in your heart greeted somebody else. I know we're about to take an offering. Is everybody's offering going to match the love they should have for Jesus? You'll be coming to communion. You're not going to be bringing your good works. You're going to be bringing your failures and asking for forgiveness. You're going today present to God a living sacrifice that doesn't even come close to pleasing God in its full holiness and righteousness. The best you can bring is your sin. We need help. And that's why you're here too, because God's going to give it. God's going to turn it upside down. And I hope by the time you leave, you'll walk up to somebody you haven't spoke to in a while and you'll say, I'm glad you're here. I'm thinking about you. I'm going to pray for you this week. I hope that when you come up to communion, you can confess the things that are on your heart in such a way that when you take communion and you pray up here at the railing, you know God is moving and changing your life and transforming you into something nobody else could even touch in terms of holiness and righteousness. My prayer today is that when you prepare your offering as a gift to God, it'll be more than just something done out of compulsion, and rather something done out of the right heart because Jesus loves you. God alone makes the transformation and difference in our lives. He reaches down deep into the deepest building blocks of who we are and makes the change. And only God can do that. And so as we prepare for Christmas this year, and the second present of which just kind of presented to you now, I want you to think about this living sacrifice of our body given to God and the appreciation that each and every one of us could have if we give this some thought and some prayer and certainly repentance. Who's the most joyful one at Christmas? The one who needs it or the one who doesn't? Who needs a doctor? The sick or the healthy? As we prepare for the coming of the day and Jesus' arrival, let's be honest about what we're really presenting to God. In closing, this presenting to God this body of ours in view of His mercy as a living sacrifice, there's a story that follows Christmas immediately after, one of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, that makes a lot of sense. When we think about this, see, Mary and Joseph on the eighth day, they took the baby Jesus, they took him to the temple, and they presented him to the priest. That time, he was circumcised, and he was turned over as one who truly belongs to the people of God. Now, the odd thing is he's the sacrifice for the people of God. He is the one who changes our lives and make them what they are as the people of God. He was presented as the true living sacrifice who will give himself on the cross for the sins of the world. And then Paul turns around and says, think about this and present yourselves to God with all the sin, with all the trouble, with all the muckiness, with all that makes you not presentable, not only to Him in the world. There it is, before God. A sacrifice has been made for it. And now you can be presented as the one who will make the difference in the people that live around you and with you this world. As one who is a living sacrifice to Him, you'll become a living sacrifice to others. And that's what your family needs. That's what your neighbors need. That's what the people at work need. They need somebody who follows after Jesus to be a kind of Jesus for them. Bless your preparations. Bless the coming of Jesus. Bless each and every one of you in His name. Amen.